Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Welcome in Matt George of ABC 10 and the Locked On Kings podcast. Matt, most impressive player from last night's game to you was who?
I mean, it's Devin Carter, without a doubt. I mean, just the back-to-back games where he's been tremendous. Mm-hmm. Like breakout games, seven steals in the last two games. Went for that jam against Memphis, didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Took his opportunity this time, threw it down, and I asked him about it after the game, and he was like, "Man, shout out Malik Monk. Thanks to Malik Monk for passing to me, and I just jumped." That was his answer. That was his breakdown. But he was tremendous. He's a nuisance, man. When he wants to be with the wingspan that he has, he can be just exhausting for ball handlers and teams to deal with. Not just that, but if you're playing off the ball, a lot of the steals that he got was off the ball. Man, you just have to be constantly aware of any passing lane in his vicinity, in his airspace, because he can reach out and at the very least deflect the ball and create opportunities. So I thought Devin Carter was fantastic. The fact that Doug Christie quite literally couldn't find a way to take him off the floor. He played 31 minutes or rounded up 31 minutes last night. Like he played so well that Doug had no choice. It's like, sorry, Keon, like I gotta close with this guy. He's earned it. And I promise you, Keon Ellis and nobody else had a problem with that, the way Devin was playing.
Yeah, man, it was good to see for Devin Carter. I know we've been a little rough on him, but like I said earlier, we've been quick to also say he was put in a very, very tough position, being drafted to this team that had an immediate need. He had to deal with a shoulder surgery, doesn't get a training camp, doesn't get summer league. Gets two games in the G League and they're like, "Hey, get in here and, you know, and be effective." And it was just a lot. It was a lot for any rookie if they were always 100% healthy, let alone somebody who's coming, you know, off an injury like that. And he struggled that first time around, but stayed with it, got back in Stockton, worked on some things, and he got the second opportunity. And he's played well, I would say. The first time it really stood out to me was the Clippers game, you know, and he's shown that he's a major league, or excuse me, an NBA guy since that moment, like right now. So I was happy to see that from him last night, with it culminating in, you know, his highest point total and doing that in front of the home crowd like that.
Yeah, my issue was never with him, right? It's not his fault that he had to have surgery. It's not his fault that he started behind the eight ball. It was the choice of the front office to select him given the circumstances of what they were going for. Now, two games in a row probably has Monty McNair with a big smile on his face watching this kid play, and rightfully so, but two games doesn't make a good decision. Two games also doesn't make a bad decision, right? I mean, Devin Carter, the player, is going to need years to be judged. And certainly any idea or comprehension or like this any idea of Devin Carter being labeled a bust in any kind of way is ridiculous. This is a game like 25 or something in his career. The circumstances
didn't feel ridiculous a month ago.
No, well,
that man looked lost on the basketball floor,
right? Because he was barely starting in the league and coming off of surgery and no training camp and asked to play for a team that has playoff needs. Expectations, yeah. Which is not on him. It's never been on him. And I think this speaks to my broader issue with this team the entire season, in addition to the front office, has been just the construction of this roster for what this team needs. And I think to segue kind of into a probably the greater part of the conversation that we're going to have, what we saw from the Sacramento Kings last night is the willingness to give their all. That's it. That is the secret to success for this Kings team. Are they going to give their all or are they not? Because they didn't give anything against the Warriors. They didn't give anything against Phoenix. They didn't make even close to a second or third effort. They didn't even bother closing out on corner threes on back-to-back nights. But Monday night and last night, they're fighting. They're battling. They're scratching and clawing. Doug Christie talks a lot about Sacramento Kings basketball. Talks about the name on the front, not the name on the back. And Sacramento Kings basketball is giving your all and giving 110%. That is what he demands. That's a lot to ask of any team, regardless of if you're a loved head coach or you're a hated head coach or whatever. That's a lot to ask of your team to give their all. When the Kings choose to give their all, and when they play players that are willing to give their all, like Keon, like DC, like Jake LaRavia, even though he didn't play last night, they're a different version. They're a different team. But it is fair to question game in and game out. Casey, I was listening to the show earlier. I know you're talking about more often than not under Doug Christie, we've seen them play better. That's true, especially at home. Like Doug Christie has figured out how to get this team to play hard for home the home crowd, and that doesn't surprise me. Shouldn't surprise anybody based on how well he knows this crowd. They're 12-3 at home under Doug Christie. So they've figured that out, which is fantastic. However, I'm not saying this to take anything away from Doug because he deserves a tremendous amount of credit, but the bottom line for this team has nothing to do with coaching. Do they want to fight and do they want to play hard or do they not? That's it. Because when they fight, when they play hard, they can beat anybody. They can hang with anybody and they can get a crowd behind them like we saw last night. That was the loudest I've heard the Golden One Center since the 2023 playoffs. Like when they fight, the crowd responds, and they all feed off of that, and the offense gets going as well as the defense gets established. But if they're not going to fight, if they're not going to give their effort, they're going to get their ass kicked in Phoenix. They're going to get embarrassed by the Warriors. So what version of this team are you going to be? That is the question on a nightly basis. What question or what version of the Sacramento Kings are we going to get tonight against the Bulls? Because even though it's the second night of a back-to-back, don't matter to Doug, doesn't matter who the opponent is, doesn't matter who's playing. Are they going to play hard or are they not going to? And we'll see come tip-off. That's the state of this team right now.
The question I would ask Matt, and Matt's not alone in feeling how he feels, but why, I said this earlier, why don't they get, when you talk about their effort and how they approach the game, why don't they get the benefit of the doubt? Because I'll challenge anybody to give me 10 games where they didn't show up that way. They're being held to what we saw a week ago as if that's who they are, when I think they've shown the exact opposite. They had a bad week and that's not who they are.
You also can't say that beating the Cavaliers last night is who this team is. They haven't proven that. They haven't shown that nearly enough.
And that's where people I don't think they hear what I'm saying. They don't have to win to play a certain way.
They have to win right now.
No, but
winning is all that matters.
You're not hearing me, Matt. I'm talking about their approach to the game and how they compete. And I think that's what Doug is talking about. Doug isn't necessarily talking about wins or losses. Like, yeah,
Doug has said that. I'm talking process over results.
How we approach the game, how we compete. They've shown way more times than those past three games that they approach the game and play a certain way under Doug Christie.
This is a nice sermon on Sunday. Doug Christie needs results to keep his job. The front office needs results to keep their job. Vivek Ranadive has established an expectation of playoff results this season after last season missing out on the playoffs. This is a results-driven league. I understand completely what Doug Christie's saying. He's trying to build something, and damn it, he deserves to build it. Doug Christie deserves to be here for years. He deserves to have this job. I mean, he's won me over with that. Mm-hmm. But this is a results-based league, and you are in a playoff race right now. I don't want to hear about process. It's not freaking November. You need to win basketball games right now. And the bottom line is when this team plays hard enough, they can win any game. And we've seen that. But we've also seen games going back to just over two games ago, two extremely important games with massive playoff implications that they did not show up and did not play hard. So I'm not trying to be negative after a big win because last night was phenomenal. But KC, it don't matter. What version of the team are you going to get? You need consistency and you need to win. And this Kings team doesn't always give you what they need to play consistently.
To me, you're saying two different things. Don't talk about playing hard and what they say. They didn't win those games because
they didn't play hard against Phoenix or Golden State at all.
But they played hard. But they played hard against Denver. They played hard against.
Correct. They did.
But it don't matter. Right?
No, because that's
what I'm saying. You're saying two different things. Because it doesn't matter if they play hard or not. It matters if they win or lose. And that's cool if that's the barometer. I'm not even saying that's a bad thing. But don't harp on the fact that they didn't play hard against Golden State and Phoenix. Just harp on the fact that they didn't win. Because that's all that matters.
I'm going to harp on them not playing hard against Phoenix. It doesn't matter. Yes, it does matter.
No, because
How does it not matter? They didn't show up in massive games with playoff implications. How does that not matter?
Because they played hard and they played a tight game against Denver.
What do you want, a moral victory?
I don't want a moral victory. You're talking about what you can expect from this team, and I'm telling you more times than not, the whole notion of if they're going to come, they almost always play a competitive game. They almost always, overwhelmingly, you got two games, three games max that you could say these guys didn't show up. Other than that, in the 17 games that Doug has had since the trade deadline, in the 37 games they've had since he's been the head coach, they almost always show up. So that, to me, that shouldn't even be a question of whether or not they're going to show up. It should just be, are they going to win or not? And that's why I say they don't get the benefit of the doubt. Like, now we question if these guys are committed and all that. What are you talking about? They've shown for 34 to 37 games that they're committed. Why are we even questioning that? Can they execute?
We're arguing semantics at this point because whether they're committed or not, okay, fine. I mean, they're NBA players. I do believe they want to win. But are they going to do what Doug Christie asks of them? That's the question. That is fair to question on a night-in, night-out basis. Even if we want to say they're 100% committed, sometimes their actions don't support that. They've beaten up on bad teams. That's fantastic. I don't take that away from them at all, considering that is something they struggled to do with Mike Brown. They didn't win at home. They're figuring that out. So I give them a tremendous amount of credit for that. But one win against the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I'll even add the Houston win. Like, those two wins are the best wins that they've had over the last handful of weeks, but also in some significant games. So there's two wins right now that I can point to and go, those are fantastic. Let's add in the Memphis one too. There's three. But I go back to, you weren't here, KC. I was talking with D'Lo from Chase Center. I was giving him another tour of the Chase Center last week, this time last week. And we were talking about that Knicks game. And I told D'Lo, I was like, I think this game's the outlier. The way they played against the Knicks, I think, is the outlier. I was in the same boat as you. I don't think they're going to play like this. I think they're going to rise to the moment. They recognize the tiebreaker implications against the Golden State Warriors tonight. They came out and didn't give a damn. They left and I understand part of the game plan was let Draymond Green shoot open threes. He was hitting them. You tip your cap, right? It was kind of the same thing with Russell Westbrook hitting open threes in Denver, right? That's part of the game plan. But at some point, Doug Christie also calls for making a second or third effort on closeouts. The Kings were not willing to make second or third efforts on closeouts. Then they follow it up with a game that even you tweeted out the season was on life support after that pitiful performance that they had in Phoenix. I don't care if that's not who this team is. That's who they were in the moment in important games. And they have to win games like last night in order to make up for that. Thank God they did. And I love that they're getting these efforts out of Devin Carter, Jake LaRavia, Keon Ellis starting, I don't think is a coincidence that the Sacramento Kings found success. I know that was the worst offensive first quarter we've ever seen in our freaking lives, but the Kings defensively fought so hard that they could keep this game within single digits after scoring just 15 points in a quarter, bought themselves time to get that offense going, and they ultimately won that game. Keon Ellis being a part of that starting unit is not a coincidence with that. We know what Keegan Murray does on the defensive end. I think Doug Christie has discovered something. He's figured something out. And in my opinion, you got four guys right there that play defense and play hard on defense. Two of those guys need to be on the floor at all times, in my opinion. You can have any combination of DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, DeMontis Sabonis when he comes back, Malik Monk, anybody out there to score the basketball, and that's important. And I love how DeMar and Malik closed that game out last night. But those guys, the ones that have been willing to dive for loose balls and fight like hell and play hard, that's the reason why the Sacramento Kings are 2-0 during this homestand, because they got the offense going. They got out in transition. They got the crowd involved. And then DeMar was able to do his thing and close it down. Not taking anything away from DeMar, though. That is the perfect spot for him. That was vintage. This is what you bring DeMar DeRozan for. You talk about DeMar doesn't get the credit when he does it. I'm giving him the credit when he does it. You don't win that game without DeMar DeRozan last night. You needed a closer to help close that thing down. But the three quarters to get you to that point, that was all the hustle and energy that this Kings team, are they going to bring it every night? We don't know. Hopefully they will. They need to if they're going to have any shot.
Somebody say you're getting a cappuccino.
I just don't want to step on counterpoint. Okay, so I just let everybody
work. Is this how Jason Ross felt with you and Ken Rudolph?
Probably. There'd be times where I'd look at Jason, will you say something? Okay, one quick question to try to bring the moment down a little bit, and we should all decide on this together. Mm. Are we calling Devin Carter DC?
It's a good call. I haven't.
Okay, I haven't either, I have purposely not done that.
Yeah.
Matt just did it. I've heard other people. Is that a thing that we're doing?
Well, Doug has called him that. I don't like it. I did that because I genuinely could not.
I don't like it, but maybe we don't call him DC. Maybe it's Coach Christie. Maybe it's Doug. Like, I don't know. Maybe DC is too informal for a coach now.
That's tough.
I don't like it.
DC too?
I don't love that. He could be Devin. He's Devin.
He can't get a nickname.
Well, I mean, what's his nickname? Fryer? The Fryer? I don't know. Like, I don't love. I don't like DC, and I don't like DC calling him DC.
I didn't even think about that.
All right. Okay. We don't have to decide on it now, but it just caught my attention. Here's something that we haven't asked all day. It appears, Matt, that Zach LaVine is back tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe we know the status of Jake LaRavia yet, but I do believe the absence of those two influenced the minutes that we saw for both Devin Carter and Trey Lyles. I still think we'll see a lot of Trey Lyles minutes, especially with the absence of DeMontis Sabonis. But what now for Devin Carter? Like, if you're Doug, you know, hey, we got something here. He even said last night, yo, Devin had his welcome to the NBA moment. And he almost sounded like relieved when he said it. He said he had his welcome to the damn NBA moment or something like that. What do you do now, though, if you're Doug, where you have, you know, you've got Zach LaVine back and you have something a little bit closer to your normal rotation?
It's an oversimplification, but almost the same thing in terms of put him out there, and if he's making an impact, keep him out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's it. It's the same thing with Jake LaRavia. It's the same thing with Keon Ellis.
No problem doing. He's done that since he's been the head coach. Yeah.
Now, if he comes out and he's struggling and he's not making the right plays or whatever, then you kind of pull it back a little bit. But one of the things I just said there when I was yelling at poor Kenny was that.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Wow.
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Again, you got four like scrappy defenders on this team. Two of them should be on the floor at all times, in my opinion. Now, that's not going to be the case with the starting lineup with LaVine back.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. We've argued enough about the starting lineup. It is what it is. But to me, you should always try to have one or two of those four guys on the floor, and sometimes three of those four guys on the floor, because we can clearly see the influence that they have on a game and defensively the impact that they can make and how they can get everybody going. So, and everybody feeds off that energy when those guys are hustling. So, and whether Jake LaRavia is back or not, I guess we'll find out. But I, again, oversimplification answer to your question. I think you put him out there in the first quarter or whatever part of the rotation you want to put him out there when you bring Malik out or whatever, and see if he can continue to be a high impact player. Give him a couple opportunities in the first half and in the second half, and if he earns more, then he earns more. I think that's, you can kind of be on a game by game basis, and I know that's difficult at times for players to deal with, but when you're a player like Devin Carter that you can just kind of unleash, it's like, go out there and hustle and make an impact, bother somebody, get some deflections, piss somebody off, maybe dunk a basketball, maybe hit a three if it's open. Like, doesn't matter what your rotation minutes look like, just go out there and be impactful. That's how I see Doug Christie handling Devin Carter for the rest of this season.
You know, one of the things that's been mentioned a lot with the starting lineup and yesterday, and it's something that I took note of the other day. Doesn't mean it's right or wrong or anything like that, but I like, you talked about energy. I think the shift in energy, the change in energy coming off the bench is vital. I think the last two games, the shift in energy is what helped them win the game. I say that to say that doesn't mean you have to start with that energy. Sometimes having the shift of energy is what propels you. So when people say this should be the starter, this should be the starter, maybe the perfect role is coming off the bench. You used Bobby Jackson as an example. He was a starting caliber player, but his shift in energy and his change of pace with Mike Bibby was essential to what the Kings did. The Kings didn't have, outside of Doug Christie, they didn't have any real defenders in that starting lineup, but they had that shift of energy. You go back to even further with the bench mob, with Vernon Maxwell and John Berry. They were, quote-unquote, better than Tariq Abdul-Wahad, but their shift of energy is what helped propel those teams some nights. So, I mean, whoever starts, it's whatever. It doesn't matter to me. But I think what we saw the last two nights is just as vital as a starting lineup, being able to come in with guys that can just bring a different level of intensity to the game on the defensive end or both sides of the floor.
I completely understand what you're saying. And I think that that was for a long time, like Mike Brown's argument with bringing Malik off the bench, right? Mm-hmm. With that, that shift of energy and what Malik brings. And for sure, like we saw in Memphis or in the Memphis game, Laravia and Devin Carter coming in and shifting that energy defensively is what woke that game up. This is a impossible argument to make because Zach LaVine didn't play. But I'm very curious if we could go back in time and say Zach LaVine did play and started in last night's game. How much better is the offense in that first quarter? I'd expect it to be a little bit better at the very least having Zach LaVine out there. But if you were to tell me that the Kings were scoring in the teens in the first quarter against the Cleveland Cavaliers, I would have told you they were down by 15, 20 points at the end of the quarter. Why? Because we saw that three first quarters in a row, against New York, against Golden State, and against Phoenix. Three straight games where the Sacramento Kings were obliterated in the fourth quarter, down by 15 plus points at the end of all three of those games, ended up falling behind by over 20 points in all three of those games. So where I think about it from this perspective. The change of energy, you're 100% right, but is Keon Ellis in that starting lineup alongside Keegan Murray, does that give you enough of a defensive push to where if you get off to a slow start offensively, you're not falling behind in such a big hole where your bench has to give you something or you're in big trouble? That's where when I see Keon Ellis start, I see, okay, the Kings are making a significant enough effort or playing well enough defensively to where even if the offense is slowly warming up, DeMar's getting going, LaVine's getting going, Monk is not hitting shots, they're still in the game. Like that, I think the how the first quarter went last night, I think is a fantastic aspect of the story of that game. They scored 15 points, still ended with 122, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And people want to dismiss that quarter as that was a bad quarter. To me, that quarter set the tone because defensively, they played the same way all four quarters. And it was that defensive first quarter that bought them the time to figure themselves out offensively and really establish that they weren't going to get pushed around by Cleveland. And there were a couple times where I was following Cleveland players to the bench with my camera, and I kept catching Tristan Thompson walking up to his guys going,
TT.
Like, calm down, calm down, calm down. Like the Kings and their physicality flustered Cleveland last night. And I think Keon being as part of the starting lineup, having two of those four guys on the floor to start the game helps establish that defensive intensity.
And that's what I think the story, again, maybe it's a glass half empty, half full thing that we talked about earlier, is the story of the first quarter doesn't have to be the 15. Mm-hmm. It's the 22. You scored 15 points in that game. You were down 7. You only gave up 22 points.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To a team with Donovan Mitchell and Evan Mobley, who, like, Evan Mobley missed 5 shots the whole game, hit 8 of 9 in like 10 seconds or whatever Kenny found out earlier. Like, he was out of this world yesterday, and like, we could be frustrated or you could, wow, look at the turnaround. But you look at that 22, and like, I didn't know how to feel at halftime, thinking, I think it was a 9-point deficit. I was like, well, I just remember thinking, it's not so bad. Mm-hmm. Because I did not expect the Kings to win last night. I did not expect the Kings to be competitive last night. And not like quit competitive. Like the circumstances were tough. Like that's a tall ask, right, against a team that's probably, I don't want to say desperate for a win, but is looking around like, hey, we got to settle this thing down here. We don't want to, you know, start losing games here at the end of the season. But to hold them, you know, to be within striking distance in the at halftime and to have that, you know, amazing third quarter that they had, I think that's a big deal. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of positives to look out from last night.
For sure. Another one is like, call me scarred or emotionally damaged or pessimistic.
You're all of those things.
Yes. I was waiting for, I was sitting there during the third quarter and so, okay, but when this is fun, but when's it coming? Right. When is Cleveland going to stop playing with their food? Right. And then Evan Mobley erased that run by himself. I'm like, ah, man, here it is. Okay, here it is. And I was not going to be, I was thrilled with how the Sacramento Kings were playing. And to be clear, even though I was expecting Cavaliers to win that game and flip that proverbial switch, I didn't think, oh, all of a sudden they're going to run the Kings out of the building in the fourth quarter. No, I thought it was going to be a hard fought game that the Kings would just lose to a 56-12 team at the time. They got punched back. And then the Kings responded, punched right back. Right. And then we got into a situation where DeMar and Malik were able to close that game down. There were a couple of possessions where it was DeMar DeRozan on one end, Donovan Mitchell on the other. And every basketball fan on the planet had a big smile on their face just watching those two go back and forth. Right. But for the Kings to truly scratch and claw and fight to get a victory like that, down three rotation players, down two starters, not just that, down two of your three stars. I mean, it was a tremendous effort for the Kings. They talked a lot after the game about executing the game plan. There was an X's and O's game plan that Doug Christie put together. It was fantastic. The Kings absolutely executed it. But part of the freaking game plan, going back to how we started this conversation, is are you willing to give it all or not? And they were willing last night, and it was enough to beat Cleveland. Even second night of a back-to-back, no Darius Garland, I don't give a damn. Take your excuses and save them in Cleveland. I don't care. You beat a 56-win team last night, down two starters, down two stars. You fought with them every step of the way. You didn't rely on a 60% three-point shooting night or some like Donovan Mitchell going 2-for-20. You beat them in a straight-up, hard-fought basketball game, and you did it because of your defensive hustle and effort. Like that is the Doug Christie impact. If you're asking me, what is Doug Christie's legacy on the Sacramento Kings? It's that. That's what he's done in this, well, however many games it's been.
37.
Since
crazy. Games. I think he's impressive. Six games over 500 or something like that.
Impressive.
Tonight against the Bulls, I know this point at this time of year, they're all must wins. But to keep this momentum up, do you feel like there's a little extra added importance on this game? You know, in some respects, you'd be like, oh, you won a Cavs game that you didn't expect to win, and if you lose to the Bulls, it just kind of balances out. Or is it like, hey, man, you were already needing to beat the Bulls. You can put yourself in a really, really good spot if you go out and handle business tonight. Like, how are you approaching the Kings game tonight against the Bulls?
I just don't want to see the Kings limp into their meeting with Milwaukee, then Boston, then OKC, right? Don't kill the momentum that you've built for yourselves over these last two games by dropping the ball against the team that you should beat. Now, again, Doug Christie has done a fantastic job of getting this team not just to beat bad teams. Kings have been destroying bad teams under Doug Christie, and that's what I expect tonight. Now, if they win by 5 instead of 15, I'm not going to be upset. Win the basketball game. Whatever it takes, go out and win, regardless of who's playing, who's not. The only thing that will upset me, in addition to a loss, because this is a results-driven time, a loss would definitely be upsetting. But if the Sacramento Kings don't play as hard as they did last night, now if they play hard and run out of gas, tired legs, things of that nature, second night of a back-to-back, it's an excuse I don't want to use, but there's a human element of, okay, I get it, right? As long as they're trying to fight through it. But if we don't see the same amount of effort and hustle and intensity, and it's clear, the eye test shows us, I'm going to be a little disheartened by that, considering how hard because if the Kings play the way they played last night tonight, they should win this game easy. If they had played that way against the Phoenix Suns, the Suns would have quit in the second quarter, because that team's been quitting left and right so far this season. So that's the thing. If the Kings play like that, not only will they win basketball games, there'll be a lot of teams that just say, F this. I ain't dealing with Devin Carter. No. So that's what I'm looking for tonight. And the result is it comes from that. You handle things the right way, you 100% should be beating the Chicago Bulls.
Yeah, I hate when we do that. You're right. They're better than Chicago. And this is just the corner you've painted yourself into. Mm-hmm. You're playing a team you're favored against. That's not going to happen for another week and some change. You're playing a team who's also on the second night of a back-to-back, so you're at no disadvantage. You're at home. There is a human element to this, though. There is a human element to being a professional athlete that I think we often overlook. Like, they quit, or, oh, they looked lackluster, or, oh, they didn't have this, or they... You know, they were terrible against, you know, this team or that team. And it's like, yeah, they had a bad day at work. And that's ultimately like what it is. It sucks. They had a bad day at work in front of a massive fan base. and in front of, you know, media that has to host a podcast every single night, that has to host a news telecast every night, that has to talk for 4 hours about this team every day. Otherwise, we venture into pyramids and Stonehenge.
And but, Mandela effects.
and that's just kind of the nature of this. And I think there is something to what Kenny said earlier about, you know, this team's probably has answered the call more time. This version of the team has answered the call more times than it hasn't. But that's the tough thing that they face tonight is I think a lot of fans were hoping with this back-to-back you'd go 1-1. Mm-hmm. But no one expected that one last night.
Yeah, now
whether
changed.
Domas was available or Zach LaVine was available or Jake LaRavia was available, I don't think anyone expected that one. Hmm. Now, expectations change. Now this game is different. It was like the famous Clippers Kings game was a Friday. Mm-hmm. Everybody was praying for them to win on Sunday just so they could talk more about the game mm-hmm. that happened on Friday. Mm-hmm. And they did. And that's your the win against Cleveland carries much more weight. It's kind of the same line I was using after the Clippers game. It's not that bad. I know it hurts, but if you can find a way to get New York, you're fine. Mm-hmm. The Clippers game hurt a lot more when they lost by 40 against the Knicks. The Cavs win will feel much better if you're able to beat Chicago and then head into a weekend where, by the way, you've got your next 4 days consist of Giannis, Dame, Tatum, Brown, and Shea. Mm. Mm. That's what's ahead for you. You've got the guys who the finals MVP, an MVP from a couple years ago who doesn't get referenced anymore, and the guy who's going to win the MVP this year.
You better eat your Wheaties.
That's what's facing you. And you're James Worthy in this situation. That's who you are in this your better eat your Wheaties analogy is you're James Worthy, and you've got to find a way to step up tonight, Matt. So I'm with you. You've got to beat Chicago, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the two things that I would say in response to what you said, like the human element, you're absolutely right, but you've spent your bad days.
Nah, I hear you. I hear you. I hear you.
Your get out of jail free cards are gone and done. So you like and the second part of that is like you just pulled off a win that nobody expected. Don't give it back by losing a game you should beat or should win. Like that just doesn't make sense. It's not an efficient way to move forward, right? You got something, you now handle your business and build off of it. Then we'll go into Milwaukee and Boston and OKC where maybe they go 0-3. Maybe you're hoping to get one out of those games, whatever. But you talk about handling your business ahead of time. Beat Chicago tonight. Bring some momentum and a day off with you into a mm-hmm. meeting with the Milwaukee Bucks on Saturday. You fight hard, you lose that game because Giannis Antetokounmpo is unbelievable. Okay. Or Dame Lillard breaks your heart again with a buzzer beater from half court.
That.
Okay.
Let's not do that.
But you've put yourself in a position where you can afford that because you beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, you beat the Memphis Grizzlies, and then you followed it up by taking care of business against the Chicago Bulls. That's what I'm looking at tonight.
Matt, real quick. 10 seconds. You got a bracket? You big on the tournament and everything?
I haven't filled out a bracket this year.
Well, it's too late.
Good for you, Matt.
What do you mean haven't?
Hey, Matt,
it's over,
brother. It's me and you, brother.
I'm enjoying life elsewhere. I do want to make sure I hijack the rest of the time on the show that I have to tell you you're both wrong about John Cena's promo. John Cena's promo was fantastic.
Really?
Abe just said the same thing to me.
Man, I guess it's just, I guess
you,
it's just us. It's Jesse.
You. Matt, you didn't think it was a little too cartoonish?
No matter what, like if Cena had come out and all of a sudden been Hollywood Cena, I don't think that's believable because now it's just like, oh, you're just whatever. But Cena coming out and giving us this whole like, you don't appreciate me, like playing, being what Cody called him, the whiny, you know what? Like that is a believable heel turn for a guy that's given you 15, 20 years of being a good guy. And now he's like, I'm tired of the abuse. I'm tired of it. Like I think that's more believable and more fun than, oh, I'm just evil now. Cause Dwayne, the Rock Johnson said,
they've cheered him for 5 to 7 years.
Right. Yeah. But he still he still has the scene of sucks people. He still like, I just think it's more believable and more fun to lean into that than to just go, I'm bad now. I mean,
I'll give it a second chance. I'll give it a second chance. I'll watch it again. It'd actually be the third chance. I'll try again, and I'll see if my mind changes.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.